Santa Intimacy by AI on Metaleds right here, BBC Radio 1 and 1 Extra with me, Friction. And our special guest has arrived in the studio, Groove Rider.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I've been better. I've been better. You know, it's been a tragic week, you know, all round for a lot of, you know, us heads in the game. It's been difficult, bruv.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of for people that don't know, sum up Marcus Intellects as a producer and what he meant to drum and bass and music in general, but, you know, primarily drum and bass.
Well, like, Marcus was like, I met Marcus 26 years ago, like, when I was coming up. He was the first man to kind of bring me up to Yorkshire. And I was playing house back then, so that's how long I've known Marcus through the whole game before he started producing and all that. So that's why it's hit me a bit harder than it probably would a lot of most people. But yeah, he was a lovely guy, man. And from the day I've met him 26 years ago till, you know, today, same guy. No matter what he was doing, he was always the same guy. And, you know, a lot of people get turned when they start doing well and do that. But Marcus worked hard and always the same guy, always catch jokes. It's just one of those. It's still hitting me, man.
Very consistent guy who basically let the music do the talking.
It was all about music. It wasn't just about drum and bass music. You know, as you know, like, Marcus had his other outfit, Trevino, doing a lot of techno, and everything was working. You know, like, when somebody works all their life and then they get to the point they want to be at and then this happens, it's, like, kind of tragic, man.
Very much so. So, look, let's play a track, something that you wanted to pick out from Marcus Intellects. Tell us something that comes to mind.
For me, it's always Zumba. I don't know why it's Zumba. It's not even the best track that Marcus ever made for me, but it's just got that vibe about it. It's like, it's got that old Detroit vibe, like, which says so much about Marcus for me. Do you know what I mean? And, like, you know, if I'm drawing for a set, that's got to be involved. You know, if you're going down an old sort of root set, Zumba is always involved in one of those for me because I love it so much, man. It's just real Detroit drum and bass, basically.
It was kind of like nothing that sort of ever had been released before, right?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm coming out of techno, you know, Richie Horton, Kevin Saunderson, Wyn Atkins. It's got that feel to it, like, but within the field of drum and bass. So, yeah, it means a lot to me, that tune.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's one of the tunes to me as well. I think, you know, it was in that sort of era where Marcus Intellects, miles ahead of anyone
stepped
else
up.
At that point.
He,
you know,
stepped up.
No one could come close.
And it's quite amazing for me because, like, I didn't know Marcus was a producer when I first met him. So, like, this is how far back we're going. And, like, I didn't know he had that sort of talent until a few years later on down the line when he was working with, was it Scent Files? He used to make tunes with?
Yeah, Scent Files, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, man. I've seen his whole development from, like, not making any tunes and being a promoter to making tunes, being a top promoter and a top artist. So, obviously, I saw the whole development.
Let's go into it right now. Marcus Intellects, Zumba.
We'll be right back.
The sounds of Zumba by Marcus Intellex right here on BBC Radio 1 and 1 Extra. It's me, Friction. I'm here with Groove Rider and he is in the studio and we are about to talk about the return of Prototype Records.
Not much to say, man.
It's back.
Yeah, it is back, man. We're coming. We came in hard as well. We came in very, very strong. But you know what? I wasn't even going to do it, right? I was like, nah, it's too much hassle for what happens nowadays. You know, I couldn't really get involved in that MP3 market because when it switched from vinyl, I was kind of in the, you know, in the dust. I didn't really know what to do. Like, I didn't know whether to keep Prototype going or keep looking for this or do that. I was just like, let it sit to the side for a second. And then one of my boys, Rob Smiley, said to me, you know what, Groove? You got a product there which you're not doing anything with and you need to sort it out. And he's been on at me for the last couple of years and I've like, nah, I can't be arsed with it all because, you know, DJing's like consumes my time as it is and I'm trying to write a couple tunes and try to do this and try to do that. I haven't got the time for it. And he said, you know what, Groove? I'll take care of it for you. I'll handle it. And for me to give him Prototype, you know, I've got to trust the man because that's my baby at the end of the day. I'd rather let it sit like quietly rather than somebody spoil it. So I'm just giving him the, you know, giving him the reins and like let him run. I'll get the music, no problem. You know, I've got the boys on the streets all over the place, you know, throwing tunes at me left, right and centre all the time. And just do something with it. So he's saying to me, yeah, let's go. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it properly. But, you know, let's make these things clear. If it's not running, he's going to get sacked straight, yeah? I'm not messing about out here.
We wouldn't be expecting anything else, mate. Do you know what I mean?
But, he's a cool guy, man, and I really get on with him. So, and he, you know, when I shout, he listens. And
well, we all do, mate, to be fair. You know.
And he lets me calm down and then I can talk properly. But, yeah. Rob's a really good guy and he's like really handling the label pretty well and we came in with a real, real good start.
So tell us why, as far as Prototype, you know, kind of, like I say, it's been a few years out.
Yeah.
Was it purely down to, you know, it kind of stopping or, you know, being paused or however you want to say, was that down more to sort of like your DJing, you having enough time to sort of be able to do everything sort of thing?
Well, you know, I used to work with somebody called Elise. I don't even remember Elise. She used to help me run the label back in, when we were running at that point.
She was someone I used to have to phone up and hassle to get hold of tunes and promos, basically. I remember.
Yeah, well, she went off and got married, silly girl.
And, selfish.
Selfish. So, you know, I was quite happy to just let it, you know how it is with DJing. That's more than time consuming as it is. So, like, to run a label, you need to, and to do it properly, you have to have other people working with you and doing it. And I didn't really have that faith in anybody to kind of handle that. And plus the music that I wanted to put on Prototype, I wasn't hearing at that point. And, you know, it's, DJing becomes more and more, and you just like forget about things, and you know, yeah, prototypes there, but can I really be asked to do anything right now? I just couldn't be. I just persisted with the DJing until, but I said, as I just said, you know, Rob came along and said, you know what, I can handle this for you, and I'm going to make do a good job. So I'm just letting him do it.
Because when we look at the music that has been released on Prototype over the years, I mean, it's legendary.
Yeah, it was more about quality control rather than quantity. And that's what, you know, a lot of labels didn't really adopt that attitude. I'd rather put out one release a year rather than have 10 bad ones. For my hearing, do you know what I'm saying? Because I have to agree with it. I have to like it. Doesn't matter about what anybody else thinks. I have to like it. And if I don't like it, it's not going to happen, regardless of how many units somebody thinks it can sell, because Prototype wasn't built like that. Do you know what I'm saying? It was just like a fun thing for me. I actually started Prototype just to put out my own tunes, like, without anybody knowing it was me.
Was this the original Codename John stuff?
That's what I'm trying to say. That's Codename John.
I've just blazed you up for anyone.
Thanks. But that's what it all kind of blew up around. Into Warriors, Codename John. I just wanted to make tunes without being judged. You get what I'm saying? So the only way I could do that is to go anonymous. And yeah, that's how Prototype was built, basically. And, you know, didn't have any kind of format. It wasn't about any particular type of sound. And it's just about putting out, towards the end of it, well, towards the middle of it, it's just about putting out good music. So hopefully we can achieve that now.
Yeah, well, let's go into a track. I mean, one of the first Prototype records that I bought, which is Dillinger Threshold.
One of the, it says it all, you know, Dillinger, the grandmaster of drum and bass for me personally.
Yeah, for me, without a doubt. I mean, for everyone.
You're right.
If they don't think so, they don't know. As far as I'm concerned.
That's what I'm trying to say. And you know, when I caught this, this was back in the, like, the Music House days, and probably Dillinger had probably like given me a dat, and I'm like, okay, let's play this. Just take this to Chris, let him sort it out. You're in the room, you're thinking, you know what, this tune is kind of rocking out. So next minute, did we have mobiles back then? Yeah, we did, didn't we? Just had mobiles.
Yeah.
Straight call to Dillinger. What are you saying about this tune? And you know Dillinger. Oh, I made it in 4 hours. It's a Fleabag tune. You can have it. Thank you very much. Because, like, that's legendary. That's a legendary tune now. So, yeah, man, that's all I can say about Threshold.
But it's amazing looking at that, and, you know, we're talking about the A&R / signing process, right? Compared to now, you know, where someone that's, you know, I've been on both sides of the fence, so yeah. I'm an artist and I'm a label owner as well, you know, but, you know, I'm kind of speaking to three different managers, you know, negotiating where it will come out, when it will come out, how it will come out, how it will be presented, you know, like, I prefer that way that you're doing business, mate.
I'm still rags, I'm still doing that, I've got to be honest with you. How do you think the Odyssey came about? Listen, man, I'm still rags, mate. I still do that. I still pick up the phone. And you know what? A lot of people are going to get frightened with me over the next 12 months because I'm going to be picking up the phone quite regularly. So, yeah, look out for me, lads. Anybody that's making a decent tune out there, expect a call.
Yeah, I'm sure there's people.
I'm trying to sideslip managers all over the place at the moment, trust me.
Yeah, I don't think they'll argue with you, mate. Let's go into this now. Threshold, Dillinger. We'll be right back. Sounds of Threshold by Dillinger, one of, well, one of the greatest producers to make drum and bass. We're talking about Marcus Intellects earlier, and you know the music that he's made, and
yeah,
you know, timeless music. And you know, this again, you know, Threshold by Dillinger, another one of those tracks. And
yeah,
we're talking about it earlier, and you know, when you were signing all these tunes, you know, we've talked about your business,
yeah,
you know, how you go about the song signing process. You know,
there's no signatures, let's put it
exactly. But you know, when this was all happening and you were signing tracks like this,
yeah,
you know, some of the Matrix tunes that you were signing,
yeah,
you know, the John B tracks,
yeah,
the Optical tracks, you know, you were massively influential, yeah, in, yeah, bringing, yeah, through Optical and some of those tunes at the time. Did you realize what was going on when you were signing these tracks and releasing this music and running this label? Did you realise the history that you were making?
Of course not. You know, I'm just, you know, you got to understand with me, right? I'm like, next year I'm going to have to go back to work and do a normal job. I've had this attitude since I've been doing this. Like every year I think, ah, oh, it's going all right, but yeah, maybe next year I've got to go back to work. So no, I've never thought of longevity in this thing at all. I've always thought like, yeah, you know, I'm lucky at the moment. This is going to like last another few months and then I'm going to have to find something else to do. But we're like 20 years plus along the line and I'm still saying the same thing. And then like, you know, when people like yourself say to me, yeah, these tracks are legendary, I'm like, wow, I must have made a piece of history out here. I don't ever think of it like that, though. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I've never been that kind of person. Do you know what I mean? I just try to stay humble and stay focused. And, you know, when you say stuff like that, it drives it home to me, like, how legendary, how good the music was back then to be able to listen to it now. And that's what it's about. It's not about the throwaway tune. It's just about a tune that you can pick up in 10 years' time and say, you know what, that is a banger still.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying, I think, as well, is that in other ways, what I'm saying is these, yeah, new tunes better be good groove. You know what I mean?
It's got a lot to live up to because, like, you know, when you read some of the things online, oh, Prototypes, this label, and it means so much to me and this and that and that. I'm thinking, how am I going to emulate all this kind of thing in today's market? You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's tastes have changed and, you know, you can't come back with what you were doing back then, but you're going to alienate the people that liked what you was doing back then.
Cool.
So,
yeah,
you know, what's the balance? I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's one of those ones that probably takes a while to work out, you know. But yeah, I mean, we talk about Threshold. We talk about the artists that you work with.
Yeah.
This is a track I'm going to play now. DJ Trey Sonar. I mean, another, we can keep going on about, yeah, historical and legendary, yeah, yeah, you know, we've established that, yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But how did this tune come about? Because this was, you know, this track is another timeless record, very individual sounding record, and it's one of those tunes where you hear everything from the keys in the intro to the re-space sound to the actual drums. Everything about it is, yeah, it's got that signature sound, right?
Well, what happens, like, Trace done that Splash remix. I can't even remember what it's called. The Babylon. He done the Babylon remix for Juice Records. And he thought, yeah, Trace is sounding all right at the moment. Because he was working with a guy called Pete. And
is this Pete Voyager?
Voyager, yeah. He was working with Voyager. Like, Trace has got a nice little sound going on at the moment. Then he came with that Mutant Jazz remix. Was it Mutant Jazz?
Mutant Jazz, yeah. Or Mutant Revisited.
I was just like, I would have been it. Tracy's going on with things right now. Yeah. And this is the time, around about the time Metalist was popping off for that, the Blue Note. And that Newton Jazz, that was the number one tune in there. So Prototype was popping off a little bit. Dillinger's tune was done pretty well. And like, you know, I was feeling real high, feel strong. I'm going to go and talk to Trace about doing a tune. And then he threw in Sonar. I challenged him. I said, you know, that Mutant thing, that's kind of rolling, you know. I want one of those kind of things. So I challenged him and he come back to me about 2 weeks later, came with Sonar. I was like, God damn, you got to be kidding. What, can I have this for Prototype? He goes, yeah, this is you. The rest is history pretty much.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then I goes, I'm going to need a B-side, but I'm going to need something a little bit different. And he came with a 10 minute rollover and it was like Futeria. I picked it up the other day and I've never really listened to it because it was all about Sonar for me. Never really heard the B-side. I heard it when I like signed it, but never really listened to it because it was the B-side. I picked that thing up the other day. I'm like, oh my God, I totally missed one here. So yeah, if you're into your vaults or you're a train spotter, make sure you check out Futera because it's a bad tune as well. But yeah, Sonar, it was too much. The intro, everything.
This sort of sound came about from the days when I used to go and watch you play.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were releasing tracks like Kilimanjaro from Ed Rush. Yeah. And that whole sort of, you know, Ed Rush, Nico, Trace, Fierce, they had this whole kind of sound. Yeah. Obviously, you released Cut Slow.
Yeah.
You're like, this whole sort of sound, that originally kind of was part of the Dillinger, of the sort of like the Groove Rider hard step sound.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember that sound? Because when I used to go and watch you play,
all
the MCs used to say...
Well, you know what it was? With me, like...
But what was hard step? Like, to people that don't know...
I have no idea. It was a mate. You know, I'm going to tell you a story. Like, it's like my mate, Danny Jungle. He's the geezer that, he was the bloke that coined the phrase jungle. Right, we used to be playing at Heaven, and he used to be there in the middle of the party with his hand up in the air shouting jungle. That's how we coined the phrase jungle for the whole term. But he coined that phrase hard step because he used to wear these mad boots, right, when we used to go out, like DM's steel cap boots. And he used to be shocking out in his boots. And he used to say, Dan, that's some hard stepping you're doing. And he goes, yeah. Do you know what I mean? He used to be stomping real hard and like, just called it hard step. We just found another term. And I just used that.
Kind of makes sense.
Just used it because like, the actual label had a like picture of a pair of iron cap boots. And it just reminded me of Danny, man. It was just like all about that. But yeah, it was all about hard stepping, was about dancing, about how you lift your knees up high. Do you know what I mean? Stomping, that's what hard step is.
Amazing. Well, look, let's go into this right now. Sonar, DJ Trace, we're talking a lot, so it's lucky he's got a long intro. It's me, Friction, BBC Radio 1 and 1 Extra here with Groove Rider, playing you some absolutely timeless classic Prototype Recordings music. Sonar, DJ Trace, what a tune.
Too much. Too much.
And over the years, you know, obviously we're talking about the music that has been released on Prototype. And that was kind of one era. And yeah, then Prototype for me as a fan kind of progressed again when the sort of, when Bad Company came along, yeah, and did their thing. Yeah. And you kind of did all right with Bad Company releases. I mean, you had Pulse,
yeah,
and you had Planet Dust.
I had the best ones. Yeah, but they didn't know. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, when, see, back, which one was first? I think it was Planet Dust that was first. And I was actually at Music House, sitting there, you know, I used to go and hog that place, sit down for about 4 hours and like just get my stuff done.
Just and, for people that don't know Music House.
Music House was where we used to get our acetates cut, dub plates, the original dub plates, you know, 10-inch metal pieces of metal.
Rather than just getting an MP3 and stick it on your USB.
Where we had to spend money getting music back in the day.
You know. Groove, I will say, actually, you were just talking about there how you used to hog Music House. I was a victim of this many a time. When I used to travel up from Brighton, you know, young lad from Brighton, I'd manage to get some tunes to cut, whatever, and make sure that I had dub plates for my gigs or whatever. And I'd get there at 11 o'clock and I would queue all day, all day.
It wasn't personal.
All day. I would wait and it would get to about 3 or 4 hours in. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm nearly there. They're going to cut my dubs and I can jump back on the train and I've got all my dubs for my gigs. After about 4 hours, Groove would roll in to Music House and you wouldn't say anything to the people. We'd all be standing there and you'd say, sorry.
Well, at least you got a sorry, right? Let me tell you something. You think I was a Don when it came to Music House? I'm no Don compared to David Rodigan. Even I had to stand back, yeah? So it's all about Rodigan when he's talking about Music House. Rodigan and Shaka, that was it. Do you know what I'm saying? I came in a remote third place, you know what I mean? But yeah, you know, you get treated pretty well over there. But no, it's not personal, Ed. It was never personal.
It's like, I got to let it go, Groove. Do you know what I mean?
You wasn't the only person it happened to. But yeah, they used to treat me all right over there. And when they opened room two, it sorted it out, kind of.
This is it.
Yeah, they needed to open that a little bit earlier. But back to the story, like, I was at Music House, you know, hogging it up as usual. And Fresh came up to me. And I didn't really know him too well. But, you know, I'd seen him about, you know what I mean? And I knew Darren. And he's come up to me and goes, yeah, I've got a couple of tunes for you. Do you want to hear them? I was like, yeah, of course, man. You know, I'm on the lookout for it at all times. And he goes, yeah. So, like, flung the dat in because he was trying to work a move, trying to get up in the queue so he could get his dubs cut. So if he cuts with Groove, I could get him done twice.
He was nuzzling in, wasn't he?
He was working brain on me. But it was cool. Played the tune. I looked at him, I was like, yeah, I've got to have a piece of this. I goes, Fresh, what are you saying, Prototype? And I worded it in such a way, which I can't say on air, where he had to agree. Some people may term it as bullying, but it wasn't bullying. It was like friendly banter. But
you were just trying to give him an opportunity.
You know, yo, I hype a man up. If I want a tune, I'll hype him, right? I'm your best mate. I'm your biggest fan. At that point, I'm going to hype you. And I got him. But he hadn't agreed it with the other three yet. But I know when I'm agreeing with that with Fresh, I got that tune.
Yeah, that's it. You only need one yes, right? If that.
Right, everybody's going to swing somehow. But I managed to get it and we managed to establish a pretty decent relationship musically. And, you know, Fresh is one of my best mates in this whole game. Like, from before that, you know, I knew Fresh and, you know, we established a relationship. We always talk about music, always talk about equipment. You know, he's a mentor to me when it comes to, you know, programming and stuff like that.
Because
that is a Don, right? No matter what music that guy makes, he's a Don and he's always going to be the best at it. Do you get what I'm saying? So, you know, much love to Fresh. And, you know, we've established that relationship over a number of years. And, back then, that's where it all began.
Yeah. I mean, and the tunes as well. I mean, these, again, we talk about the sort of stages of Prototype. Like, when I heard Planet Dust, I think I was in a club and I'd played somewhere, and I think J Magic might have played it.
Yeah.
And it was, the drop was unlike anything else that had come before it.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything else like it. And it kind of like, I remember where the sort of beat kicks in for a bar before it drops or whatever, and you're trying to work out, hold on, when's this happening? Do you know what I mean?
It's a mixer's nightmare.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It took me a while to get that one in the bedroom. Me, Friction, BBC Radio 1 and 1 Extra, playing you a massive tune. Bad Company, Planet Dust, previously released on Prototype Records. One of the biggies, Groove, one of the biggies.
If that doesn't go down in the top 10 of drum and bass anthems or drum and bass tunes of all time, then there's something wrong, without a doubt, for me. Because, you know, as you just said a minute ago, man, there was nothing around at that time that was like that. You know, this was the template for a lot of new, you know, music that goes down today.
I'm pretty sure it would be, mate. I think there'll be a few Prototype tunes in there. I mean, I've got to be honest, Planet Dust. Every time I see Marky, he moans and whines at me and says, "Are you going to play Planet Dust again today?" Like, oh, I can't do his voice that well, but like, he always goes on. He's like, "You always play it like that." It's just like, well, it's one of the best tunes ever.
Thank you.
But it's such a big tune.
Thank you, thank you. And it always, and you know what? 15 years later, it's still working. So it isn't even, I don't even know how long it is, but whatever it is, it's still working. You know, there's a couple of little VIPs, because, no, that's something else. That's the Pulse, isn't it? That's the other one.
Pulse is VIPs, sick, right? Yeah, yeah.
That's floating about, yeah. So, you know, look out for that.
So we move on from Planet Dust, and you released a track by drum, sound and bassline Smith.
Yeah.
Called The Odyssey. Obviously, people that don't know, obviously, you know, my predecessor on the show right here used to do this very show 13 years, I may add.
Yeah.
That got a few rewinds when you played the original Odyssey, didn't
it? You know, as I say, I get excited, don't I?
How many rewinds? Because I did have this debate on the show the other day.
I think this one was about five.
Only five.
I think Slam had the most. Slam had eight. And it was like, yeah, Slam got close to me, starting to, you know, embarrass myself and start spitting some bars.
Yeah, but, that was the one. I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, it's quite good of you to play a tune on another label more. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, I would have thought Odyssey had got the most.
No. There's no favoritism here. You know, no. you know how it is, right? You know. There's no favouritism. You know, when you get hurt by a tune, you get hurt by a tune. It doesn't matter who made it. It could be your worst enemy that made that tune. If you get hurt, you get hurt. That's the way it is.
That's the beautiful thing about music, man.
Well, we keep it real, do you know what I'm saying? 100%. That's what I love about drum and bass music. We keep it real. We try to keep the politics out of it. If we love a tune, don't matter if you like the band or not. If the tune is a tune, we'll throw it down.
You know what I mean?
But, yeah, Odyssey, like, yeah... So, you know, I've always wanted to work with Simon. I've known him like a very, very, very long time as well. And always wanted to work with him. Especially, I knew him before like the drum sound, bass line, Smith thing came about. So yeah, been working with him for a little, you know, just talking to him, being friends with him. And then he sent me the Odyssey. You know, when you know, people used to send you dats, like, you know, you used to have to wait a week for it to come through the post and all that. And he sent me it. And I was like, oh my God, what is this? It's like, this is like, it's just, this could be as big as Pulse and them kind of tunes. And I had to get on the phone, quick thing. And Simon, what are you saying? I love this tune. Groove, not a problem. You can have it. Because, you know, when certain people can't hear their own tunes, you know what I'm saying? They think you're mad when you're interested in something.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, I was like, yeah, this is easy work, man. Yeah, again, it was another hit. So, like, last year, 2 years ago, Simon came to me and, like, said, you know what, Grief? I've got a tune for you. What are you talking about? You know, I ain't doing no prototype things in a moment. He goes, you know what? I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you back. And then he gave me this Odyssey VIP, and I was like, Simon.
Thank you.
I think I might be back. Straight on the phone to Rob. Rob, I got a tune. I need to put this out. And here we go. Odyssey VIP, that's how it was born.
But how would you say, I mean, it's a great remix. I love what I love about it. It's brought it up to date.
Yeah.
Slightly different, but not too much. Yeah. All that kind of stuff, yeah. Which is great. One thing I want to say, because we're going to run out of time soon, is how things are different now.
Yeah.
So the market's changed. The way you market a record's changed. It's a whole different ball game now. You know, like keeping things off the internet or trying to, and, you know, like keeping the sort of promo time shorter now and all this kind of
See,
stuff.
See, like, this is what the problem is for me. And this is why I haven't done anything, because what do I say to an artist now? You know, you're not going to sell X amount of 1,000 tunes. You know, back then when we were putting out vinyl and all that, we were selling 20,000 tunes and stuff like that. What am I going to say to an artist now? Like, I have to tell them straight off, you're making a tune from Prototype right now. I've got nothing to give you. All we can do is promote you.
Yeah.
I've got nothing to give you because you're not going to make that much money. You're not going to, so you can't look at it as a money thing. So you, number one, if you're making music now, you have to love making music because it can't be about money. The few odd things slip through, do you get what I'm saying? But you're not going to make money. You've got to do it for the love of it. And this is what I have to reiterate to all artists that I work with. If we make a bit of change, you're going to get some change. But bottom line is, you're not really going to earn that much money. So you have to take that out of your head. What I can do for you, I can promote you as an artist and see how that takes you. And, you know, hopefully you'll get DJ work out of this. And, you know, we can get you, you know, some interviews and blah, blah, blah. But that's all we can offer you now, because there's no money in this drum and bass game, music game, full stop, because of this MP3 market.
Well, look. We're going to crack on. We're going to run out of time otherwise. And I just want to say thanks for coming in.
It's always
a pleasure to see you. You know.
Come on, man. We've been talking about this lunch thing, dinner thing.
I know.
Football thing. Listen, time's running out, right?
I know.
For all of us. Let's do this, yeah?
We will do it.
But thanks,
mate.
Mr. Friction, for having me in. It's been excellent to see you as per usual. You know, keep it up, man. Doing a great show, doing great things here, man. Keep it up.
And you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So let's do it then. The Odyssey VIP, Drum Sound and Bassline Smith on Groove Riders Mighty Prototype Recordings.